Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I'd like to welcome each of you to our first service, which is our, not the divine, but morning service at 10:30. I'd like to welcome those of you that are streaming live in the internet, in the Philippines, in Honolulu, Hawaii, and most parts of the United States. I'd like to welcome each of you this morning as we worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. I'm going to kneel to pray that the Lord will guide us in our study this morning as we look into our sermon title, We Are Homeward Bound. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for the privilege that we can come together as a church, as fellow believers in Christ, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the blessings of the Sabbath as we contemplate on your holy day, Lord, that we can come together to praise you and to claim you as our God and our Savior. Father, this morning as we look into your words, I pray, Father, that you give us clarity of mind that we might understand. But not only understand, but apply what we hear into our lives so that we can be prepared for the times that are coming ahead of us and the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Send your holy and mighty angels now to surround this sanctuary and the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts that we might discern spiritual and heavenly things. Thank you so much for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And if you are there, say amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Well, let's look at 17 also. I've used this text before, but we want to look at it again because we can never exhaust the Word of God. From eternity to eternity, we will be ever learning the words of God and still not exhaust it through the ceaseless ages of eternity. And the Bible is read like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a what? A moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We won't have time to dissect this two verses, but in a nutshell, we are going to be facing affliction. Aren't we not? We are. Whether you like it or not, you and I are going through affliction. And you can read that through the scriptures, all through from Genesis to Revelation, and how God's people suffered for Christ's sake. The last three sermons I presented here at this church, one was the revelation, what the world needs to see is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And they're going to see the revelation of Jesus Christ in you and in me. Amen? So when we have this revelation, once we reveal the life of Christ to a world, the world will see the true gospel of Jesus Christ through you and me. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a what? For a witness. That means they are going to see the gospel in you and I. Amen? We talked about that in Revelation chapter 14. Why? When we have this revelation of Jesus Christ, because we are living in a time where your case and my case is coming up. And we need to have the character of Jesus Christ being revealed to the world. And thirdly, I did a sermon a couple weeks ago on the Great Reset. We know that this world is crumbling. It's coming. It's culminating to a point where we are never going to return to way life has been. And we know that. We know that. No excuse for that. But we know that this world is crumbling to a point of no return. And so this Bible text this morning is looking at, it is only for a moment, but it's going to be eternal. And verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are only temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Today we are homeward bound. Are we homeward bound? Thank you, Jerry. We are strangers. Turn with me to Hebrews. Let's look at it quickly. Hebrews chapter 11. We are homeward bound. We have to have that joy in our lives. Despite of the circumstances that are happening in our world, we are still homeward bound. Amen? Look at verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We are just strangers. This is not our home. We're just passing through. Don't we forget that. We are strangers on this earth, and it says, and pilgrims. We're just passing through this earth. This is all temporary. And my Bible tells me that we are to have this faith. This faith, my brothers and sisters, for the times that we are coming and what the times that we are going to be facing. And we are facing a critical time in world history. Amen? I'd like to read a statement found in Maranatha. Maranatha. 352. You know, I cannot get enough of the writings of Ellen White. I am so grateful for the spirit of prophecy. What it does for me, I don't know about for you, but what it does for me, it just magnifies the Word of God. It makes me understand it even more clearly. And they work both hand in hand. And that's why I am so truly blessed, ever so blessed, to have the writings of our prophet. Amen? Maranatha, page 352. She says this, as we enter the kingdom of God, there to spend eternity. How long is eternity? Endless, endless, immeasurable. No end. Thank you. Eternity. There to spend eternity. The trials. Here it is now. I want you to take note of this. The trials. You know what, my friends? Every one of us here this morning will encounter trials. If not, we're getting them now, but we will continue to get trials to the coming of our Lord and Savior. But here she's saying, we are going to experience trials and difficulties. The perplexities that we have had here will sink into insignificance. That means what you're going through right now, it's nothing. Oh, I haven't eaten yet. I didn't get a paycheck. You know what I'm talking about? Things that worry us. It's going to go away into insignificance. In the home of the redeemed, there will be no more tears. No funeral trains. No badges of mourning. The inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. I am sick with COVID. No more. No more COVID, amen? And I know there's a lot of people that are sick. But in the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. This is heaven, my friends. We are homeward bound. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquities. One rich tide of happiness will flow and deepen as eternity rolls on. I had to read this several times, my friends, to really grasp the enormity of what she is saying here. She says, God shall wipe away all tears. All tears. Here she says, let us consider most earnestly the blessed hereafter. We are dealing with the world today, and we're suffering, we're in affliction, we're in trials. But we're just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This is all temporary. See, the devil wants us to think, oh, you need to dwell on your problems. No. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Amen? We have to look for that hope this morning. We are homeward bound. Let our faith pierce through every cloud of darkness. What does that mean? Let our faith pierce through every cloud of darkness. Turn with me to Isaiah, quickly. My time is limited this morning, and I just want to try to convey everything that I can within the next 30, 35 minutes. Isaiah chapter 60. Are you there? Amen. The Bible says, arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. It's not by chance. It will cover the earth. Darkness will cover the earth. And then it says, and gross darkness the people. We have no concept what that means. You're seeing the things that are happening in our world, the draconian laws that are being implemented. It's darkness. Lawless. I don't understand it. The Bible tells me in Revelation chapter 17 that all these have one mind. And guess what? The Bible also talks about that what gives them their power is the devil. The dragon gives them their power. And great authority. You wonder how a governor can implement laws where we can't congregate, can't sing, can't worship. Where is that coming from? From the bottomless pit. And here Ellen White tells us, she says this in Faith in Maranatha. She says, 2:352. Let our faith pierce through the every cloud of darkness and behold him who died for the sins of the world. Let's not dwell on the darkness of this world. Let us look to Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He has opened the gates of paradise to all who receive and believe him. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? I have to believe him. I have to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. We are homeward bound. And sometimes the devil plants these seed thoughts in our mind. Oh, I'm afraid of COVID. I'm afraid where I need to get out of the cities. We are homeward bound. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. I want to draw your attention this morning to the promises of God. We need to dwell on those promises, my friends. To them, he gives power. Power
You ever thought about that word, power? He gives you power. He gives me power. Power to become sons and daughters of God. Are you a sons and daughters of God? Because if you are a sons and daughters of God, He will give you power. Power. All power is given unto me and to heaven and earth. I don't think you understand what this power is. I don't understand it myself. But you and I have to experience this power. Power that gives you victory over sin. Amen? Let the affliction which pains us so grievously become instructive lessons, teaching us to press forward towards the mark of the prize of our high calling of Christ. In Christ, let us be encouraged by the thoughts that the Lord is soon to come. We know He is coming. He's coming. He's coming, amen? Let this hope gladden our hearts. We are homeward bound. I was encouraged this past week to study this for myself, because I was getting a little disappointed, a little depressed in how I should go and tell more people that we are living in a corrupt world. The Lord said, no, don't dwell on those things. He says, look at me and be saved. We are homeward bound. He who loved us so much as to die for us has builded a city. Can you imagine what that city will be like? The New Jerusalem is our place of rest. There will be no sadness. Yes, there's sadness here in this world. But there will be no sadness where we are going. For we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. No wail of sorrow. Yes, many people are crying and sorrowing today. This past month, I've run into several people that we know personally that have passed away. Sorrow, crushed hopes, buried affections will ever be heard. Soon, the garments of heaviness will be changed for the wedding garments. Do you have that wedding garments on this morning? So what is this wedding garments? Ellen White is telling us about. She says it in Christ's Object Lesson, page 310. I have the book. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it. 310. Christ's Object Lessons. The wedding garment in the parable is represented the pure and spotless character which Christ's true followers will possess. It's that true character. The perfect character. This is the character He will offer to impart to us. Do you have this robe of righteousness? It is this wedding garment that God is going to give us. Those whose lives have been hidden with Christ. Those who on this earth have fought the good fight of faith. We are homeward bound. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. This is all temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. If the church will put on the robe of Christ's righteousness, if you are putting on the righteousness of Christ, His character, we are homeward bound. Withdrawing from all allegiance from the world. There is a condition to this, my friends, this morning, that we have to apply into our lives. There's a condition. We need to withdraw from all allegiance on the world, and God will promise to her that we are homeward bound. God's promise will stand fast forever. Maranatha 3:33. She says, we may have a vision of the future, the blessedness of heaven. In the Bible are revealed visions of the future glory. We're going to see the future. Scenes pictured by the hand of God, and these are dear to His church. By faith, by what? By faith, we may stand on the threshold of eternal city and hear the gracious welcome given to those who in this life cooperate with Christ, regarding it as the honor to suffer for His sake. Are you ready to suffer? No, I didn't see any hands. Are you ready to suffer and ready to prepare for affliction and trials and persecutions? We're coming to a point in world history that we're going to go through this phase in our lives. We're going to suffer for His sake. Christ's object lesson, page 69. Christ is longing, is waiting with longing desire for the what? For the manifestation of Himself in His church. He's waiting for you and I. He's waiting for me. Say, Eddie, I'm waiting for the manifestation of Himself, of me in you. That's what He's longing for. Longing desire. Huh? When the character of Christ is perfectly reproduced in His people, then He will come and claim them as His own. You know that statement? I'm just reviewing with you this morning. This is nothing new to you and I. It's something that we already know. I just want to review it with you today because we are homeward bound. Some will be put to sleep. And God is allowing them to go to sleep. Because He knows what we're going to be facing in the future. It's beyond what you and I can comprehend. So God is teaching us today what was required of us today, this morning. Turn with me to Titus. Quickly, Titus. Titus. Where is Titus? Titus is before Hebrews. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. To some men or all men? All men. That means He's come with salvation. Okay? Teaching us. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness. What is ungodliness? Wickedness, impurity, a disregard of God and His command, which is disobedience to the divine command. So that's what ungodliness means. The Bible is telling us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. What is worldly lust? So you all know what it means then. We don't need to dissect that for a moment. But you see, one of my favorite authors writes, we need to describe the sin, define the sin, and then delineate the sin, because Laodicea don't understand. They're miserable, wretched, what? What else? Poor, blind, and what? Naked. Denying it. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly. Huh? Not drinking the wine of Babylon. Eugene talked about the wine of Babylon this morning in Revelation chapter 14. The wine of Babylon. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in the future. What did the Bible say? in this present world. Today is the day of salvation. We are homeward bound. My Bible is telling me that we need to deny ungodliness. Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Luke 21. Don't go there. We don't need to go there. My time is limited here. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts are overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Is this cares of this life inundating you today? Thinking how I'm going to be paying my rent? How am I going to be getting income in the next 2 months? I don't know. We can, you know, look at it and say, is this overtaking myself? Overcharging with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. In Luke chapter 21, 35 says, for as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. We are living in the great reset this morning. This whole world is turning upside down. Whether we like it or not, it's turning upside down. And we are in this world together. But God is giving us hope. Amen? We need to deny ungodliness. We need to look to Christ this morning. Maranatha 3:62, she says this. I want to turn there and read that, because this is where we can have the claim, the promises of God. She says, the cross of Christ will be the science and the song of the redeemed through all eternity. We have to keep that hope this morning, because we are homeward bound. We are living in a time where the scenes of this earth history is going to close, and we need to be sober. Huh? Not drunken, sober. We need to live and exhort God as our Savior. We need the necessity for preparation. Preparing for this time. How do we prepare for us to go homeward bound? Number one, we need to study the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Are you spending time with God? This is our foundation this morning. We need to study. She tells us in 5T 707, she says, I have been shown that many who profess to have a knowledge of the present truth know not what they believe. I just found out one of our present truth churches in Glendale has closed permanently. You know, we could say COVID was the instigator. Of course, it's closed many businesses, but one of our sister churches has closed permanently. I was told last night, as a matter of fact, that church has closed. I am saddened in my heart. But we shouldn't be discouraged, amen? Because now the brothers and sisters over there have to go to a conference church. And I said, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, there's churches that are open. There are. Like Mentone. Mentone's open. They're worshiping outside, but you still can attend church services. Outside. We're blessed, my friends. We're blessed. We're still worshiping here. Amen? We need to be praising God. She continues, she says, they do not understand the evidences of their faith. They have no just appreciation of the work for the present time. And there are many in the church who take it for granted that they understand what they believe, but until controversy arises Have you ever met up with controversy? And you're by yourself? And you've met another brother or a sister in Christ, so to speak, and they want to argue with you what you believe and what they believe? They do not know their own weaknesses. We all have weaknesses, but we need to study the Bible in the spirit of prophecy. We are homeward bound. We need to know what we believe as Seventh-day Adventists. Number two, we need to have communion with God. Fervent prayer. Prayer is the key that unlocks heaven's storehouse. What is your prayer life like? We need to be fervent in our prayer life. Number three, cleansing from sin and victory over weaknesses. We all have weaknesses, but God will give us the power. Amen? Power. All who endeavor to excuse or conceal their sins and permit them to remain upon the books of heaven, unconfessed, unforgiven, will be overcome by Satan. Turn with me to John, quickly. John. We are homeward bound, my friends. John chapter 4. You there? Look at verse 6. First John chapter 4. First John. Quickly, First John chapter 4. Are you there? Amen. Verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Verse 4, I'm sorry, not verse 6. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Are you overcoming? We have to overcome. We have to overcome these ungodly things in our lives. The Bible teaching us to what? To deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We have to overcome them. Here, verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you. Did you know that the Bible teaches that if God is living in you, you don't sin? I only heard one yes. My Bible tells me that if God is living in you, you will not sin. You believe me? Let's look at it. Let's go to John. You're there already at John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John. We're already in 1 John. Okay? 1 John chapter 3 verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him, what? Sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. So there's no excuse for sin. The reason why we sin, and yes, we've transgressed, we've accidented sometimes, but if God is living in us, through us, with us, you will not sin. You cannot sin. And that's why, abiding in me and I in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? And then number four is a complete surrender. Complete surrender to God. We are homeward bound, my brothers and sisters, this morning. We need to understand that we need a complete surrender to God. Why? Because we are facing a time that we are never going to understand. You know, I read Christ's thoughts from the Mount of Blessing this morning. It says, I want to read it in page 174. She says, the last, like the first sentence of the Lord's Prayer, points to our Father as above all power and authority in every name that is named. The Savior, the who? The Savior beheld the years that stretch out before his disciples. So here, Jesus was displaying the future to his disciples. The Savior beheld the years, not months, but years, that stretch out before his disciples. Not as they had dreamed, lying in the sunshine of worldly prosperity and honor. See, the disciples wanted to be rich. They wanted to live comfortably. They wanted the good life. We all want good life, right? But here, disciples, Jesus was sharing this to disciples. What did she say? She says, the Savior beheld the years that stretch out before his disciples, not as they had dreamed, lying in the sunshine of worldly prosperity and honor, but dark with the tempest of human hatred and satanic wrath. So Jesus is telling his disciples, you are going to be facing what? Human hatred and satanic wrath. Are you experiencing that today? Because if you're not, then you're doing something wrong. Because if you are encountering human hatred and satanic wrath, then you're doing something right. Because guess what? When you're preaching this truth to a dying world, you will be facing human wrath, which I did this past week. I was kind of hesitant to share this, but I'm going to share it this morning. And so we at our institution know that they're going to push this vaccination. And I just so happened to talk to several people, and they wanted to know what was in it. And I'm sure you've done your research. I have. You can search it yourself. And there's many doctors are now coming out saying that this is what's in it. It's knowledge. It's not something that we should hide. You and I know that we are homeward bound, but we're going to suffer affliction. When you think you're going to go through this life without affliction, then there's something wrong with your spiritual life. Because if you're going to stand up for the truth, you are going to face satanic wrath. You're going to look at human hatred. And I experienced that this past week. And I said, whoa, let's have a little dialogue here. There's no dialoguing. Period. Over and out. And we are going to face tempest, she says, amid national strife and ruin. The step of the disciples would be beset with perils. Are you a disciple of Christ? Because if you are a disciple of Christ, you're going to face strife. This is not something I want to encourage, okay? I'm not here to depress you, because we're homeward bound, and we're going to be facing this. And Ellen White tells us very clearly that we are going to be beset with perils. And often their hearts would be oppressed by fear. We are going to be facing, she says, dark with tempests of human hatred and satanic wrath. I spoke on when everything seems forbidding. We're going to be facing these times. She says, amid national strife and ruin, the steps of the disciples would be beset with perils, and often their hearts would be oppressed by fear. They were to see Jerusalem a desolation, the temple swept away, its worship forever ended. Can you imagine if our worship was to end today? You would be worshiping at home. You would be at home worshiping. We still have this privilege of coming together as a brother and a sister to fellowship. The Bible teaches that we should not forsake the assembling of the brethren. And the devil doesn't want us to gather together. He wants us to put on these masks so that we don't see a smiling face. A happy Sabbath. And the disciples were to see Jerusalem a desolation. By the way, this application has a dual application for Christ's time, for the time that we're living in. She says, what happened in Jerusalem will happen again, and we're seeing it today. She says here, they were to see Jerusalem a desolation, the temple swept away, its worship forever ended, and Israel scattered to all lands like wrecks on a desert shore. Brother, there's coming a time when we're all going to be scattered, every one of us. We're going to be facing a time where you have to worship God in your way, in His way. We don't know how long we will be here, because we're seeing how they're shutting churches down. I told you that this church in Glendale shut down. I was called last night saying, no more. We're not exempted here in this church. We don't know. 352. We are finances. No more people. Everybody's staying home. So when people don't help the church to grow, then there's no funding. We are homeward bound. And we need the wedding garment. Those whose lives have been hidden with Christ, those who on this earth have fought the good fight of faith, will shine forth the Redeemer's glory in the kingdom of God. This morning, as I was reading the account of Paul, I love Paul, amen, the great apostle Paul. Nero, this is reflecting Christ. December 12th, today's one, as a matter of fact. Nero pronounced the decision that condemned Paul to a martyr's death. You and I will be facing a martyr's death. You ready for that? A martyr's death? Few spectators were allowed to be present. For his persecutors, alarmed at the extent of his influence. Paul had an influence. You know, by the way, when Stephen was being stoned, who was there? Saul was there. Jesus was there, but Saul was there. And what did Stephen's face look like? He shone like an angel. Did you know that affected Paul? Or Saul? Now look, this is what Ellen White says in Reflecting Christ. Few spectators were allowed to be present, for his persecutors, alarmed at the extent of his influence, feared that converts might be won to Christianity by the scenes of his death. What happened to Saul after his death? He was converted. And here, their persecutors were afraid that other people were being converted. Even the hardened soldiers who attended him listened to his words and with amazement saw him cheerful and even joyous in the prospect of death. He was going to die. To some who witnessed his martyrdom, his spirit of forgiveness towards his murderers and his unwavering confidence in Christ, till the last proved a savior of life unto death. The heaven-born peace expressed on Paul's countenance won many a soul to the gospel. So whoever was there at his martyrdom were converted. Why? Because of his life. His godly life had an irresistible power. Yes. It gave convincing power. And this is what she quotes. She says, here lies the power of truth. The unstudied, unconscious influence of a holy life is the most convincing sermon that can be given in favor of Christianity. Argument, even when unanswerable, may provoke only opposition, but a godly example has a power that it is impossible wholly to resist. What is our life like this morning? Is it irresistible? Is it a godly life? I want to finish with these last two statements, then I'm going to close. You see, the great Apostle Paul lost sight of his own approaching suffering in his solitude for those whom he was about to leave to cope with prejudice, hatred, and persecution. Could you imagine what he had to go through? Hatred, persecution, and prejudice. You see, my friends, he stood for truth. And if you stand for truth, you're going to face exactly what Paul went through. Tempted and tried for a little season, they might be destitute of earthly comforts. Yeah. Really? You're going to be what? Destitute of earthly comforts? We have nice homes today. Nice warm beds. Can you imagine when that's taken away? But it could encourage their heart with assurance of God's faithfulness, saying, I know whom I believe. Do you know who you believe? Huh? And I am persuaded that he is able to keep which I have committed unto him. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. Soon the night of trial and suffering would end. And then would be dawned the glad morning of peace and perfect day. You see, the apostle was looking into the great beyond. Are you looking at the great beyond? Oh, we are homeward bound. We are homeward bound. Here, Paul was looking into the great beyond. Not with uncertainty or dread, but with joyous hope and longing expectation. As he stands at the place of martyrdom, he sees not the sword of the executioner or the earth so soon to receive his blood. He looks up through the calm blue heaven of that summer day to the throne of the eternal. See, this is all temporary. What we're going through is just temporary. You see, I'd rather have my head chopped off, honestly. I'd rather have my head chopped off like Paul's. Why? What would you rather have? You being in a dungeon for a whole year and rotting away in the dungeon? Or being just done away with at that particular point? Because the next time he opens his eyes, it will be that glorious day. We are homeward bound, my friends. Let us not worry about the things that are coming upon this earth, because, my friends, as Paul says, he was looking into the great beyond. And today we can look at the great beyond. That is our hope. Our hope is eternal life. The Bible teaches that through the ceaseless ages of eternity, we will be ever learning the experience of the great reward. It is my prayer this morning that we can look to Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How many of you this morning want to rededicate your life to the Lord? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege you've given us, Lord, to look into your words for the time that we've had. I pray that you will encourage us, Lord, to be faithful in all that we do, that we can be faithful through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Keep us faithful, Father, and we thank you so much for your love and your watch care. And thank you for answering our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.